All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, editor at allyoucanheat.com and the host of this show. My normal co-host, David Ramil, not here with us today, but I will be joined here in a minute by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. Barry has been doing an awesome job reporting on what the Heat are up to this offseason. We're going to talk about some of the draft prospects the Heat like, the latest free agency buzz, what's going on with guys like Paul George and Gordon Hayward, just everything that you need to know about the Heat this offseason. But before we get to that conversation, just make sure that you're following Barry's work. His Florida Sports Buzz column online for the Miami Herald is a must bookmark. Follow him on Twitter at Florida Sports Buzz or at FLA Sports Buzz. Set those Twitter alerts. You're going to need them this offseason. And finally, Locked On Heat is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And check out the rest of the network as the NBA draft approaches and we head into a whirlwind offseason. You can reach us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat or by email at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com for mailbag questions, advertising opportunities, or whatever. Maybe you just want to say hi. Finally, to support the show, please go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It really does help other people discover the show. We do appreciate all of those. All right, here's my conversation with the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we're joined by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. First of all, thanks for taking a break from the madness to talk about the Heat with me. Never a dull moment in the NBA, huh?
My pleasure, Wes. Yeah, what an exciting week it's been already with the Lakers-Nets trade and Paul George rumors and more to come.
Well, let's start there. Let's start with the Paul George rumors because we've heard that he has told the Pacers he's gone after the season and he's going to sign with the Lakers. Now, Heat fans, of course, are going to talk about this, and they're split on the idea, it seems, of George in Miami. But how is this different than when the Heat, for instance, traded for Goran Dragic on an expiring contract in 2015? And do you think the Heat feel differently about George than they did about Dragic?
No, I think the Heat would love Paul George just as they wanted Goran Dragic. The big difference is the Heat no longer has the assets that they had available to get Goran. Because remember, with Goran, they had 2 first-round draft picks they were able to forward to Phoenix. They don't have that this time around. Miami is the only team in the league that is not permitted to trade a first-round pick before the draft, before the year 2023. That's the first year, Wes, that the Heat is able to trade a first-round pick because, as you and your listeners know, teams are not permitted to trade first-round picks in consecutive years. So I simply do not think the Heat has the assets for Paul George if it's to be believed that the Pacers are seeking multiple first-round picks and a starting player. I'm not even sure they have a starter to give them because if you're not going to trade Goran or Whiteside, there's no other starter available, right? James Johnson and Deion Waiters are free agents. Luke Babbitt, who is a starter, is a free agent. And I'm not sure Justice Winslow qualifies as an NBA starter quite just yet in his career. He might prove to be, but I don't think you can definitively say yes that he's an NBA starter.
You mentioned Whiteside. Do you think the Heat would ever give up a player like Whiteside? I know Pat Riley in the past has said, well, even though he's traded so many first-round picks, like you talked about specifically for Dragic, and then for the big three, he traded first-round picks to get those guys as bird rights. But he's said Whiteside is like our first-round pick. Do you think that there's a price what would the price be to pry Whiteside away from the Heat?
I think there are certain star players that he would trade him for. For example, if he had a commitment from Paul George to be here long term, then I think, sure, he'd have to consider trading Whiteside. But with the risk of having Paul George for only a year, it simply doesn't make sense. Elite NBA players, obviously, Whiteside would be in play. But at this point, I don't know that anything like that's been presented to Miami.
So the Paul George rumors, they've been out there, and now it seems like those are being circulated. We've also heard about Jimmy Butler, even though I imagine that the Heat have no chance of landing Jimmy Butler, just like they have no chance of landing Paul George, who might even be worth fewer assets than Jimmy Butler just because of his plans to basically leave and go to the Lakers next season. But Gordon Hayward's a name that has been linked to Miami by multiple reports. There's not been an actual report linking Hayward and his interest to the Heat, but there have been reports by ESPN saying that the Jazz are worried about the Heat as a possible suitor to take Hayward away from them. So I'm going to ask you, if for example, Hayward were making a pros and cons list, as people often do when they're making decisions, and he's trying to decide where he's going to play next season, what do you think would be in the pros side of his list for the Heat?
Well, start with the fact no state income tax in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you'd be going, or in Florida, obviously, I should say. Second of all, you'd be going to a franchise that knows how to win. They've won 3 championships in the last 11 years. Third, you could point to the fact that players improve when they come here. And Hayward's already an all-star, but Pat Riley could sell to him the notion of him becoming an all-NBA-type player, a player who would be a multi-year all-star if he comes here. You obviously could sell weather, so that would be a fourth plus. And you could sell Riley's track record, that the Heat is seldom down for very long. There was obviously one bad year, which regrettably resulted in the Michael Beasley pick at number two, you know, earlier in the last decade. There were a couple of poor years in advance of you know, the long run with Wade here. But in general, this organization is not down for long, and I think that has to be appealing to any free agent. So there are a lot of things that he can sell. The question is it enough? Because, as you know, Utah can offer 5 years at $175 million, and the Heat and Boston and other suitors can offer only 4 years at $135 million. I say only, you know, but right. That fifth year might make a difference to Hayward. I would still say Utah would have to be considered the favorite, merely because this is not a disgruntled player. This is a player who's had success in Utah. He plays for a good organization there. So there would have to be real incentive for him to leave. The question is, can Pat Riley make a strong enough case to lure him?
Yeah, and I think what the one advantage Miami might have is that Utah, you're right, Hayward's not a disgruntled player, but Utah at least, there's got to be some sort of baggage just because there's a history, whether it's just a small little... anything that happened in the past, we know that they were reluctant to match Charlotte's offer when they matched Hayward when he was a restricted free agent, when he was due for his second contract. Maybe there's still some lingering effects there. Miami's, and you know, like they were able to get Bosch and LeBron in 2010, and then eventually why part of the reason LeBron left in 2014 is that there's always something. There's always some baggage. There's always an argument that they can look back on. And Miami's just brand new, you know, the girl next door type situation. Maybe that helps them too.
Another thing you could point to, yeah. Wes, is being able to escape the West, right? You won't have to go through Golden State. Not that Cleveland is substantially easier, but it would be an easier path.
Absolutely. You reported earlier this summer that the Heat would be reluctant to offer Paul Millsap, the Hawks forward who's going to be a free agent. They'd be reluctant to offer him a max deal. But do you have any idea what their price limit would be, like what kind of tag that they would place on him?
I do not, but to me it would have to be well below the $35 million that he's eligible to receive. Remember, the first year max differs for players depending on years of experience.
Right.
So for Hayward and Griffin, it would be slightly below $31 million. For Millsap, $35 million, and I think the Heat would probably come in at significantly below that. I do know they like him. He's obviously had a terrific NBA career, been an overachiever throughout his career. I'd be surprised if that results in something, but I do think it's something that Miami will explore.
I imagine that the price that James Johnson would demand in free agency would still be lower than Millsap, just because of Millsap's proven history. James Johnson's really only done it for a year. And the Heat would probably prefer to retain James Johnson at whatever price he probably comes in, as opposed to somebody like Paul Millsap at anything close to that $35 million, right?
Right. Well, assuming James Johnson is not offered $18 million a year by someone, right?
Right.
Which you can't rule out, because last year Evan Turner got $17 million a year. And we saw some of the, you know, really insane deals that were thrown around in free agency last summer, and there's still going to be a lot of cap space in the league. So James Johnson to the Heat at $10 million would be very appealing. $18 million, not so sure about that.
I want to shift gears to the draft a little bit. We got this. We have the draft airing on Thursday. People can watch it on ESPN at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And the Heat have the 14th pick in the draft. So you've been on top of this beat for the last several months, talking about who the Heat have been working out, who they might be interested in. And there is, as you reported, a certain level of interest in the Heat by the Heat and guys like Zach Collins out of Gonzaga, Luke Kennard out of Duke, personal Locked On Heat favorite Donovan Mitchell out of Louisville, Justin Jackson at North Carolina, OG Anunoby, among others. How do you think the Heat will approach the 14th pick? Is it going to be best fit? Is it going to be best player available? What do you think?
I think it will be best player available. Now, obviously, there's certain positions, such as point guard, where you don't need a starter. Center, obviously, as well. But I do think this franchise's philosophy has been generally to take the player who they think is going to be the best NBA player, regardless of need at that position or lack of need at that position. And I think one common theme among all the players that we've linked to the Heat that we've, you know, learned this Heat interest in would be that they have an offensive skill. Now, Donovan Mitchell's not a great shooter, but he does have an NBA offensive game from scouts that I've talked to. Mm-hmm. Leaf is obviously a terrific shooter. Zach Collins would seem like a natural stretch four or stretch five. He took 21 threes last year and made 10 of them with the college three-point line at Gonzaga. And Kennard is obviously a terrific shooter. So I think with all of these players, you're seeing offense value, and I think the Heat believes that it can take almost any player who's a first-round talent and make him at least an adequate defender, and in most cases, better than that.
I've always said Eric Spoelstra and the Heat's culture, they can make any player at least 20% better defensively. I mean, just look at Wayne Ellington last year. It's almost a given just with that coaching staff. Is there anyone else that Heat fans should have their eye on, people that I didn't talk about?
I wouldn't rule out John Collins. I'll have something to report on John Collins on Wednesday evening, but I would not rule him out. Giles and Anunoby, I'd be at least somewhat surprised if either is the pick, just because I know there's concern about the knees. Now, look, if they get to 14 and every other player they want's off the board and Giles sitting there, I'm sure there would be a discussion, and it certainly cannot be ruled out. But the three knee operations, two on one knee, one on the other, the fact that he canceled the Heat workout, I think all of those factors make it less likely that he would be the pick. But he's a talent, and obviously there has to be a discussion. I'd be surprised if any of the natural centers would be the pick there. Speaking of Jared Allen or Justin Patton, those would be options certainly late in the teens for teams. The UCLA power forward center was someone they brought in, but I'd be surprised if he were the pick. Bam Adebayo, the Kentucky power forward, I know Miami likes, but I'd be surprised if he goes 14th. But there's always a surprise on draft night. I mean, who's to say that Dennis Smith would not fall to Miami? Not terribly likely, but not out of the question. Miami has studied him closely. They were one of only six teams that sent an official to his pro day last week. Keith Askins was dispatched to his pro day.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Charlotte sitting there at 11 and Sacramento sitting there at 10, and they're known to do some wonky stuff on draft day and maybe reach for a few players. So that's my bet for if there is a reach. It's going to be one of those two teams. But you mentioned it, worst-case scenario, all those guys like Collins, Kennard, Mitchell, they're not there. Justin Jackson, they're not there at 14. And do you see maybe Miami in that situation trading out of the pick, maybe trading down? I know they can't actually trade the pick, but they could select the player and then agree to swap that player with another team later on.
Oh, sure. If there's no player that they have the convicts 14, the thing they could certainly do would be try to dump McRoberts' contract and that pick for something much lesser in return, be the late first-round pick, be it a second-round pick. I would not rule that out if there's no one that the Heat likes at 14.
Do you think there's – you've talked about all the centers that Miami's worked out, and a lot of these true centers now, they don't really have a place in today's NBA as much as they used to. And a lot of draft experts are foreseeing at least, or predicting that some of these true centers, the BAMs from Kentucky and the guys from UCLA, all these Thomas Bryant maybe out of Indiana, like they're dropping into the second round possibly. Do you read anything into Miami working out so many of these guys that are fringe first round picks, maybe second round picks? Do you think that this might be a sign that Miami tries to buy their way into the second round to maybe find a Willie Reed replacement?
Right. I think that's certainly possible. I mean, if Willie Reed leaves, I'm sure that he will sign a veteran at a low salary number to be his backup. But with the NBA having two-way contracts for the first time this year, allowing you to keep a 16th and 17th player under contract, I think that paves the way for them to have a developmental number three center. And I think they just want to, you know, do their due diligence, cover all their bases about players who either could be available for purchase of a second round pick or players that could be available right after the draft. That's why they've brought in at least five centers who are projected to either go, as you said, late first round, second round, or go undrafted.
So I mentioned how Donovan Mitchell is the Locked On Heat favorite. Last season, when the Heat selected Winslow 2 seasons ago, nobody thought Winslow was going to drop to 10 to the Heat. We anointed Kelly Oubre the Locked On Heat favorite player of the draft. There's not really a name for it. But that's Donovan Mitchell is that this year. I'm curious who your favorite player in this draft for the Heat would be. If you were making the decision for Miami and all of those guys on the board that we talked about, Collins, Kennard, Mitchell, Jackson, Anunoby, Giles, whomever, if they're all on the board somehow.
Zach Collins intrigues me the most, just because you have someone with size, someone who is not close to a ceiling yet in ability, someone who can shoot at 7 feet, which obviously is a rare skill. Dick Vitale is raving to me about his footwork, other aspects of his game. So I think in terms of upside, Zach Collins would be the name that we've been discussing that would, you know, be the most intoxicating talent.
I like Collins too. He's second on the Locked On Heat draft board behind Donovan Mitchell. Okay, finally, let's say worst case scenario for everything. The Heat don't get the player that they want at 14. Collins and Mitchell, they are all taken before. Hayward signs in Boston or stays in Utah. Just nightmare scenario. If the Heat don't end up with any of the people that they want, how do you see them approaching the rest of the offseason?
If they don't get Hayward or Griffin or Millsap, I think you quickly try to move to sign James Johnson and Waiters, obviously. You likely pick up Ellington's option. It's a pseudo option. It's not phrased an option, but it's a $6.3 million guarantee that becomes effective July 7th. A decision must be made by that date. And then you look for a cheap backup center, and then any remaining money you have left, you try to get a free agent who could be a rotation player, whether it's a Zach Randolph or a Patrick Patterson. But obviously the one variable, if you don't get any of the whales, is how much will it cost simply to re-sign Johnson and Waiters, and that could be anywhere from $20 to $30 million, depending on what the market is. So at the very least, if they're able to keep all of this core together, but without Willie Reed, then I think you're talking about a playoff team, not merely because of the 30-11 finish West, but also because look at the other teams in the East that have been diminished. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Indiana's going to be once they trade Paul George. You know, Chicago, if they move Butler, will be. So there's a real opportunity to make the playoffs, obviously, even if you come back with largely the same team.
How important is future versatility for Riley? We know he doesn't like to lock himself into long-term deals for non-stars necessarily. If you're re-signing Waiters and Johnson, at that point, are you just playing cleanup and making sure that those guys don't get away? And you're just, okay, let's just make the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And, you know, they're not going to have much flexibility with the cap in the summer of 2018 unless they move Tyler Johnson or, you know, Whiteside or Dragic. So I think at that point you just have to get your assets back under contract and see what this team can do if Waiters is able to stay healthy over a full year.
All right, Barry, I know you've got a ton of more work to do. You're always on the beat. I'm honestly not sure how you do it. You have the Heat, the Dolphins, the Marlins, all the South Florida sports. But we appreciate everything that you do, and thanks for joining the show.
Thanks so much, Wes. Have a good night.
All right, that's my conversation with Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. Make sure to follow him, his work. Follow him on Twitter, at FLA Sports Buzz. Turn on those Twitter alerts. David and I will be back Thursday night with our instant reaction and analysis of whatever the Heat do on Thursday night's NBA draft. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Heat. You can send mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. To support the show, make sure you download every episode and follow Locked On Heat on Twitter. And if you're not subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us, and we'll catch you next time.